Hello, good morning, good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. This podcast is all about the pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I'm joined here by my co-host and our reoccurring guest.
Hello, everybody. It's Ryan, and I'm the one that's actually awake today because we're doing this at different times during the day. I'm here in the Tokyo area of Japan, and it's about 11 p.m. for me, and our guest is coming to us from, 6 hours back from me. I believe it's like, 5 p.m. there?
Yeah, it is 5 p.m. here, and I am fully awake. You'd get nice. A super alert Ekeros for this podcast today.
Yeah, for this time, both of us are awake, but Kevin's sleepy.
It's 9 a.m. I can do.
Yeah. So I guess if we're going to move into the topic, you want me to talk about it a little bit, Kevin? Or
yeah, go right ahead. You're our topic guy. And, fun, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I think this is going to be one of those interesting ones.
Yeah. We had some, we talked about the metagame a while back. And, this one is more of kind of just exploring. Because like I said, we're the pioneers, we explore. So, back when we were a Frontier podcast, we did a topic about 5-drops. And, what are the good 5-drops in the formats? And, what are the best ones? And, what would we like to see and that sort of thing? So we thought it would be good to revisit the 5-drop topic.
Yeah, do you think that 5-drops are more or less playable? Like, this is probably a more powerful format, but it's hard to say whether or not. We certainly do see 5-drops being played, so I'd probably say more playable. Not that anyone has a lot of frame of reference.
This is actually one of the topics I wanted to talk about, if you want to talk about that first.
I just meant in comparison to when we did this for Frontier.
Oh, I think there's more think that... available now, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also think, when we were talking about Frontier, you couldn't play a 5-drop because then your opponent just Niv or Saheeli combos you. So yeah. That wasn't a thing then.
Yeah. And Niv is a 5-drop, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Niv will definitely be coming up today.
And I'm not going to lie, I don't have him on my list. I forgot.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You should adjust your list. Well,
that is. Okay. Is Tybalt a 5-drop?
No. A 7-drop.
Well, he's a 5-drop in Pioneer.
I mean, I have a 3-drop as my honorary 5-drop. So I don't know. Maybe Tybalt is a 5-drop.
Ooh. All right. Well, how did you want to jump into this, Ryan?
So yeah, let's kind of start before we actually jump into our list and stuff like that. Let's just talk about 5-drops. When you think of a 5-drop in Pioneer, why would you play a 5-drop? Let's just kind of start with that. What's the purpose of a 5-drop in Pioneer?
So, in my opinion, when I made the list and I looked at it and I tried to understand why some cards are seeing play and why some aren't, it's like your 5-drop needs to be the way you turn the corner on the game. It needs to be a way, and it needs to be both good when you're behind and when you're ahead, I think. Because on my list, on the side, I left a bunch of 5-drops that look really, really good, but just don't play very well when you're behind. And I think that's a really big characteristic of Pioneer, especially when you have things like auras. So with decks like auras and burn and spirits that are putting pressure on you early to act, you can't have your 5-drop be bad when you're behind, because you're just going to play it and die. These decks can ignore these 5-drops, and you need your card to be really high impact in a very specific way, in my opinion. But as I said to you before the podcast, I think I was kind of surprised to see how many 5-drops are played in the format and are good in the format. And I do think that they are, the more I think about it, the critical turning point of games tend to be at 5 mana for a lot of decks.
So basically, I can kind of agree with this. 5-drops need to be game changers. I think that's the word we're looking for.
So I think another big thing, and part of why 5-drops are probably playable, is that they kind of need to not be answered by the regular removal in the format. So it's the reason why 5-drops make a much bigger difference than 4-drops, because you can't just fatal push something. That means that I also want you to pay attention that it's not something that can be shocked. Not a lot of 5-drops can be, but Not being shocked is important. Not being bolted is better if you can.
Yeah. There's very few. There's fewer ways to deal with them, which is good. Okay, so we have that out of the way. So kind of, again, before we move into our top 10 list, let's talk a little bit about what does your 5-drop need to do for you. So yes, they're game changers, but what makes a 5-drop good? Like, what does it need to have for you to play it?
Can I quick point of order? When you're talking about 5-drops, are you only talking creatures, or are you also talking
all cards, like
planeswalkers?
Yeah, planeswalkers, okay. Enchantments, creatures, everything.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, anybody want to answer that? Yeah, what makes a 5-drop good? What does it need to have on it for you to play it?
So I think, I don't know if we talked about this before, but in my opinion, Pioneer is a format that's really, it is pressured by like the extremes of the curve. So on the one hand, as we said before, you have Burn and Auras that pay a bunch of 1-drops and kill you fast. And on the other hand, you have decks like 5-Color Niv and Fires of Invention, which go way over the top, and Lotus Field. So your 5-drop kind of needs to play both roles in that it needs to be good versus people playing super cheap spells and just trying to go under you, but it also needs to be able to compete with like insanely strong cards like Agent of Treachery, which is why I think cards that might seem like really good 5-drops, let's say the new Goldspan Dragon, it looks really, really good, but in practice it just doesn't line up well against either of these, in my opinion, right now. So I think that's like the defining feature of Pioneer is also seen in 5-drops, where you need to be able to handle both extremes of the curve, and that puts a very unique pressure on them, unlike other formats.
What about you, Kevin? What do you feel a 5-drop needs to have for you to play it?
Yeah, I mean, I basically want to be winning the game, and I think that's kind of what Amit's getting to. But if I'm going to put a 5-drop in my deck, it should be something that's going to have impact. You have no chance of not having an impact. So I'm pretty wary of things like a, you know, just a big dumb angel that likely isn't going to have impact if they can have a way to kill it. I'd much rather have something that is guaranteed to have the game-winning impact.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as like, you know, if we're talking about planeswalkers and creatures, I just want to add something that's hard to get rid of. Even if, you know, you're not getting that instant advantage, I want something that's going to either be able to protect itself, you know, if it's your planeswalker or whatever, or have stats or something, you know, that just keeps it alive so you do get value out of it. That's what I want to have on a 5-drop.
All right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just fully agree on that because I just agree. Never mind. We're good.
Okay. Yeah, don't let me stop you, you know.
No, you're good.
Just jump in there. Yeah. All right. All right, I guess one more question, then we can move into our top 10 list or whatever list, depending on how many you have. I think I asked you guys this before, but would you say, and we were kind of talking about this at the beginning of the podcast, actually, is Pioneer a 5-drop format? You know, if you look at, you know, Legacy, you know, it's like a 0 or 1-drop format, and then you go to, you know, Modern, it's more like a 2 and 3-drop format, you know, that's like where it tops out. Is Pioneer a 5-drop format? Like, can these 5-drops thrive here more than any other format? What do you guys think?
I think pretty reasonably, yes. You know, I think that part of it is, like we were saying, the removal. You know, we don't have a Path to Exile of Swords. We don't have quite the same quality of black and red removal. So it means that things a little bit higher up the curve can be a reasonable impact player, as well as just being a little bit slower. You don't have decks that are guaranteed to win the game by 4 or 5 mana, so you can get to that in a natural deck. And I think that Amit also made the point that you've got very aggro decks and you've got much more controlling decks, and you need to be able to have things that play both roles.
Okay. How about you, Amit?
I think it is a good format for 5-drops because, as you said, on the one hand, you don't have the extremely efficient removal spells that might stop these 5-drops from seeing play in Modern, but also you have a wide variety of them, unlike in Standard. So in Standard, you usually end up having, what, like 2, 3, 5-drops that actually see play. But in Pioneer, you get much more than these because you have like better shells to support them, and you have the better cards. So I definitely think it's a great format for 5-drops if you can And your efficient removals do stop the earlier threats, so it kind of lines up perfectly for you to like curve removal into a big bomb, in a more mid-range style, I'd say.
Yeah.
Also, it's worth noting that counterspells in Pioneer pretty much suck, and that's a really big hindrance on 5 drops in a lot of formats, so that's a really big boon for them.
True.
So hopefully we don't get any... I mean, wasn't there like a really good like counterspell that was just printed, though?
Saw it coming?
No, not really.
I thought there was one in Strixhaven.
Maybe, like...
or maybe they're talking about it. Maybe it was from the new Dungeons & Dragons set that's coming out in the summer. I'm not sure. But anyways, we're still safe. 5 drops are still safe.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
All right. Well, you guys ready? You want to get into the best 5 drops?
Yeah.
Sure.
So Amit was saying earlier, this is kind of hard to find a top 10. There's a lot of playables, I think. And, you know, of course, there's playables and there's also cards that see play. But I want
to. Is that what you were saying, Amit? Were you saying you were having trouble finding 10, or were you saying that it's hard to limit yourself to 10? Because I was kind of more on the it's hard to find 10 that I'm really confident
on. Really?
So I think it's weirdly both, because I said to Ryan before that it was very easy for me to find, like, I have, what, like, 17 5 drops listed here that saw some level of play. But I think the drop-off in quality and power level between, like, number 5 to number 6 is pretty enormous. Like, the first top 6 are widely played and are, like, everyone knows them, you need to be prepared. But then the rest of them are, like, well, they were good at some point, right? So I think it's kind of both, where you have a lot of 5 drops, a lot of them seeing play, but only a few are really mainstays in the format because they're so more powerful than the rest.
All right. Well, do you want to say something, Kevin?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, can I just state the obvious and do like the first 3, and then you guys tell me if you agree or disagree?
Sure.
And then you guys can take the like the next, you know, 2 or 3 after that. So Niv-Mizzet. Definitely, right?
Yeah, that's right there. Mm-hmm.
Nobody can complain. No one can
I have it as number 3.
Okay. Bring to Light.
Yeah.
One of the best 5 drops. I mean, everyone can agree on that. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say Teferi, Hero of Dominaria.
So my top 3 is a bit different. I mean, I have Bring to Light as number 1. Because I genuinely believe this is what makes the Niv deck as good as it is. Along with Karyatid, which is really good enabler. And I have Niv as number 3, but I have Yorion as number 2.
I totally forgot about Yorion. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yorion's definitely in my top 5 here as well, so I'm right there with you.
I think the reason why, because when I did a Scryfall search, like I only had like the monocolored and artifact stuff. I didn't have any of the multicolored ones really show up.
Oh.
That's why. So I probably missed all the multicolored cards.
So if I had one more that might be able to fight for that top 3 position, it might be Nissa.
Really?
She's definitely on the downturn. Like, big on the downturn, but I think just, like, raw power, that card is just so hard to answer. Yeah. It really kind of exemplifies what we've been talking about as being, like, you know, basic removal doesn't easily answer it. It wins the game on its own. I feel like it does live up to that, as well as still giving you power to ramp into something big if you're against a slower deck.
Yeah. I can agree to that. Best top 5, sure. It's part of my top 5.
So I definitely agree. Nissa is one of the cards I continuously look at and I'm like, why is there no good shell that's running this? Because other than Mono Green Devotion, I don't think any deck plays it.
Other than Uro decks that had it before, right?
Well, yeah, that's also true. I mean, it lost one of its best friends in Uro. I do think Nissa kind of suffers from being a bit too bad when behind. Like, playing Nissa and then untapping Elaine and then needing to, like, chump block with it. And it's kind of awkward in some situations, but it's definitely a card. Just sometimes you slam it and it wins the game.
All right, so our top 5, we have Yorion, Niv-Mizzet, Bring to Light, Nissa, Who Shakes the World, and Teferi, Hero of Dominaria. Can we all agree to those top 5?
I actually don't have these as my top 5. After Niv...
Yeah, I'm not sure about... Yeah, go ahead.
After Niv, I have Korvold and Gigantha as my top 5 drops. Which is, I think Korvold is messed up. As we see, it's the only reason the food deck is still in contention for like being playable in the format. But I think Gigantha is an interesting case if you want to talk about that for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, Korvald, I can definitely agree to that. That was in my top 10. It's mm-hmm. yeah, a big part of the Sacrifice deck. But yeah, tell me about Gigantha. Why is Gigantha actually a good card that you should play and not just a free card? I mean,
so it is not
the whole reason
card.
Most people play it, right?
Right, it's not a good card, right? That's the thing. It's not a very good card, but in a lot of decks, it's really free to play. And just having the option to play to pay 3 mana to draw 5/5/4/5 is... Like, Companion mechanic is busted. And Gigantha is definitely one of the easiest ones to enable in your deck. So maybe putting it top 5 is a bit too much, but I definitely think it's a top 10 in the format, because this is played more than Teferi and Nissa, for example.
Well, I'm not saying that it's not being played. I'm just saying, is it one of the best 5 drops? I mean, value-wise, yeah. But like we were saying before, what should a 5 drop do? We were saying that, you know, it has to kind of, you know, it has to be a game changer. I don't really see it as a game changer. I just see it as value.
I agree. I don't think it's a game changer. I think that's why it's interesting, because it's more of a like low opportunity cost. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just playing a big body on the ground is what you need to do. And Gigantha does that. Of course, it comes with a cost, but I think it's pretty low for some decks. I just think it's an interesting case of a 5 drop that is very different from the rest of them.
Okay.
But maybe Kevin, putting it number 5 is a bit too much.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I could agree to Teferi at number 5. I didn't have mine hard ranked. Maybe the other one that keeps kind of slipping up there for me that I could see putting higher would be a card that's seen play in a surprising number of archetypes is Kenrith. Shows up in 3 or 4 different archetypes, which is something you don't really think about, is that you know, we don't really see it in Niv anymore. I think that with Tybalt being an option, it's rare that you're not getting a sweeper Niv or Tybalt. So they're lower on other 5 drops. But it does still see, you know, we had things like the Fires deck. We had the Enigmatic Incarnation deck. It shows up in the Winota decks. Mm-hmm. It shows up in, when we had Omnath decks, it was big in that. Mm-hmm. Just as far as a raw power card, like it does so many things. And wins the game really quickly. You know, it's often a 5/5 haste that gives other things haste, trample, buffs them, draws cards, gains life. You know, pretty much whatever you need to do.
It is I have that in my top 10.
It is one of the best mana sinks in the format. I definitely overlooked that. Mm-hmm. But you'll see my number 10 and you'll be like, oh, that's why I didn't want to put Kenrith in.
All right, so those are like our top 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
top 5 to 7, 8, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's have everybody just kind of go over the other 5 that they didn't talk about then. You want to just do that real quick?
Yeah. So for me, mine aren't in a great order. You know, Korvold, if it wasn't in my top 5, you know, Teferi, if it wasn't in my top 5. Mm-hmm. I did have Goldspan Dragon. Mm-hmm. I do like that card, although I do admit it hasn't been seen play. Elder Gargaroth, I think, is the one that can sneak its way on here. You know, it's tough to say that it's on the list if Nissa were struggling to find a place for her, but just still finds the occasional play. You know, Steven finds it in the lower build green decks. I honorable-ish mention the Cavaliers, because I think that all of them are borderline playable. Yep. I think Escape to the Wilds is borderline playable if that deck saw any play. That's kind of where I'm at.
Omnath, right? 4-color Omnath, yeah.
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 Like, I think...
Or like a Red-Green Fires kind of thing.
Yeah, like 3 months ago, Escape to the Wilds was probably the top 5 drop in the format, right? Yeah. Or however long that was ago. I don't remember when that was a while ago, actually.
I hope everybody, you know, forgets the Uro seasons.
Yeah.
It's lost to memory. I mean, to the past.
Yeah. For me, so we talked about, I have Bring to Light, Yorion, Niv, Korvold, Gigantha. At number 6, I have Pour Over the Pages, which is sneakily an enabling Lotus Field, but it is kind of cheating, but I wanted to put it there too. Because I do think it's probably... It is a 5-drop with his play, and I think without that card, the Lotus Field deck just doesn't exist in the way we know it. So that's one. I definitely think Gargaroth is good, and I was thinking whether it's better than Nissa or not, because when you're behind, it sometimes just bails you out so hard from some spots. Like, you play it.
I was going to say, wasn't there a new card that was better than Pour Over Pages, or that's kind of like in addition to that now?
Nothing like from that, Strixhaven? Nothing that untaps lands, I don't think.
Wait, does Port Rippage... Okay, Port Rippage's discard...
It's the draw three, discard one,
untap two lands. Two yeah.
Lands. Okay, it doesn't untap the lands. Okay, so yeah, I guess people are playing that. Never mind. It was a better discard effect.
Yeah, but Poor is very unique in what... Like, Poor and Hidden Strings are super unique in what they do for the Lotus Field deck. Mm. So, that's for me. And my number 10, and you probably could guess this, is Champion of Dusk.
Yeah, I was thinking.
I am obviously biased. Also, it's not a 5-drop, it's a 3-drop, but we'll ignore that. but I do think Champion is, like, an extremely strong card. Again, it's the sole enabler of Empires, and I could not put it on the list.
Yeah, it could sneak in at number 10 for me, I think.
It depends on the metagame, I think.
Yeah. It's like it's on the cusp.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
I'd like to give an honorary mention to Lurus as a 5-drop. Because it's kind of funny to say, but in Rakdos Arcanist, you almost always play Lurus on 5 because you want to play Arcanist or PZ with it. Of course, it's not a 5-drop, but it just shows you like how important the 5-mana slot is for a lot of decks, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was your top 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one more time, just read them all off.
So I have Bring to Light, Yorion, Niv, Korvold, Gigantha, Pour Over the Pages, I have Teferi, Nissa, Gargaroth, and Champion of Dusk.
I think that's respectable. That's pretty good. So how about you, Kevin? Did you say all 10 of yours?
Hang on, I've got like 12 on my list here, but I think I said them all, but not in any specific order. I think I was saying, Bring to Light, or I'd written Tybalt as a 5-drop, but Niv-Mizzet, Nissa, Teferi, Yorion, Korvold, Kenrith, Elder Gargaroth, what else did I say? I said Escape the Wilds, Goldspan Dragon. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to shout out as a special mention Tolsimir, but he's really just in one deck. So that's my 10, I think.
Okay, so yeah, I think I can pretty much agree with most of those. There is two cards.
Are you going to end up putting like Tegrid on there?
Who, me?
Tegrid.
Tegrid, you mean? No. I was going to say Shadow's Verdict.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that I was definitely excluding that intentionally. It doesn't advance your board. I don't consider that to be a 5-drop, but that's just a 5-mana spell.
I mean, I still see it as like it stops. I mean, it clears a board and it exiles a graveyard. I see it as a 2-for-1. You know, especially in this format, I think it's really good. It does what I want a 5-drop to do. It changes the board state and also stops them from, rebuilding. So,
I have Shadow's Verdict on my list of cards that didn't make it, and mostly because of the way the metagame has evolved for the past couple of months. Because Verdict was probably in the top 5 if you look like 2 months back when we had a lot of auras around, and like Burn and Jund Food was playing more of a Citadel game. And then suddenly the card is super important, and now I think it's less important.
I think part of that is that people like Claudio going ahead and wanting to play Gigantha means that they can't play Shadow's Verdict in their Niv Light decks, and that's been nice for some decks.
I mean, if we talk about what's good in the meta right now, I can understand where you guys are coming from. But if we talk about just in general, in the format in general, I would still say that Shadow's Verdict is still one of the best cards, I think, is as far as like how it handles all these decks. If the meta changes, it's going to be up there again.
I still don't include it because it doesn't advance your board state. Okay. It's not a creature, planeswalker, or something that sticks.
Okay. The one other card then that you guys didn't talk about, and it's just kind of more of a favorite pet card of mine, Glorybringer.
Yeah,
4/4 haste. I like it a lot better than the Goldspan Dragon.
I think you need to try Goldspan Dragon more. I thought that Goldspan would see no play because Glorybringer is in the format, and I was like, oh, we don't play Glorybringer, we'd be playing Stormbreath Dragon or something like that. But Goldspan Dragon really does impress. It's just such a tempo card. It really puts you ahead, and your opponent can feel very behind answering it.
Yeah, I still like Glorybringer. I like being able to kill stuff. It's a Timmy card for me.
All right, I mean, all right. If you look at the top five we had, like, you have Korvold, Niv, and Yorion, all of which blank Glorybringer. I think that's a big reason the card is... Mm-hmm. And Elder Gargaroth, by the way. All of these cards like, kind of making it look awkward, which is why I think it's not seeing a lot of play.
Yorion as well is a wall to it.
Yorion, Niv, Korvold. Oh, wait, it can't even target dragons, right? It's like...
Yeah, it can't even target dragons.
You can't even...
So we've got how many dragons on our top list here? We've got Niv, we've got Korvold, we've got, maybe Goldspan.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Goldspan. You have Gargaroth, which is kind of immune to that. Yeah. It's just in a really awkward spot.
It's not amazing in Nissa.
Yeah, it is actually again. Fine, it's my pet card. I think. Mm-hmm. It's still good though, seriously. And in all the casual play I've been playing, it's been really good.
Glorybringer is an awesome card. I think you can list Elspeth Conqueror's Death as another like five drop that is Glorybringer like.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah.
It was a defining card in the format before, like when you had Mono White Iliad. It was ridiculously good with it, but it is seeing less play. But yeah, these are cards that like. No, in Mono White Iliad. Also in Esper Yorion, too.
Yeah, it's another
in some Yorion decks, too.
Yeah.
I think the Yorion decks, they found some other things. They also lost the Teferi ability to bounce it, which was always nice.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that, I also agree. That was actually on my list, too, but I chose to say Glorybringer instead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm here to mention the white cards we all want to neglect.
So, we talked about our top 10. I think, I agree with your guys' list. A lot of powerful cards on there. And like we were saying earlier, there's more than we thought that could be playable. So, we had a couple honorable mentions on there. So, let's kind of expand on that a little bit. And what other 5-drops do you think could be good in the future? Like, is there anything that didn't make the list that you think...
Here's one that didn't make my list that I would love to find a home for again is Sky Sovereign Consul Flagship.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a good boat deck in a while, and that card stomps.
Hey, I was playing Dwarves. It's got it. Yeah.
Why is it in Dwarves?
Because you can search it out with Magda, and you play it that way. And then
I was trying to set myself up for the fact that... No, I always joke that Magda has one ability. He finds Embercleave, and that's
he
it.
She.
I think
she finds Embercleave, yes.
Embercleave's not that good, errata, man.
It finds it. That text has been errata, it only finds Embercleave.
I usually get the dragon, the 7-mana dragon that gives everybody Devil Strike.
That's a good
the
one,
Terror
too.
Terror of Mount Velis. I beat Emmett with it on his stream.
Yeah, you did.
A couple months back. He's like, what? Yeah.
So, if we're talking about Magda, there was a brewer a while ago that was playing, like, Keenan and Magda and just Vera Sentinel and, like, Vox Amber to try and combo off with, like, Paradoxical Outcome. And after playing with it, I just realized how good Magda just seems to be in general. I mean, I think the card is super strong, and there may be a place for it in the format. I just don't know where.
It's one of those things where once they actually print some dwarves, because Ryan was playing like a 1/3 for 1,
it's
and
horrible.
I cried every time.
Yeah. Like, no, just play Draven Inspector. Okay.
Honestly,
yeah.
I think what Magda needs is like Springleaf Drum. It just needs another just Vera Sentinel
effect.
They've
got that.
I mean,
they have Springleaf Drum.
It has? Is it legal in the format? I don't think... Let me check.
Yeah,
Born of Gods,
seriously.
Right?
Okay, I think I have some new brute to work on, I guess.
I still feel like you're going to run into the list of you're going to be scratching your head being like, why aren't there any one-drop dwarves?
So... Go ahead.
No, I just don't think Magda actually needs dwarves. Just the ability, if you can tap it and gain 2 mana with like another effect, it just powers out the 5-drops so much faster. So if you can play like just Vera Sentinel into Magda, and then you can play another 2-drop on the turn, and then the following turn you can jam like a Glorybringer, maybe a Glorybringer is fast enough when it's coming down on turn 3. It might be too much work. It's just something on my mind that felt really strong and I wanted to abuse.
Ooh, Glorybringer and Mono Red Devotion instead of Storm Breath.
Oh,
sorry, thinking out loud. Yeah.
Oh, it is the good Pioneer. Okay.
So, going back to our, topic, of 5-drops that could be good in Pioneer. So you had Boats. We talked about Escape to the Wilds. I think that could come back and be good again in the future. You have any other five drops, Amit? Any other things you want to talk about? You think that could be good?
So I agree with Kevin on Goldspan. Goldspan Dragon. I think the card plays out much better than you expect when you pick it up. And I think it needs either the right shell, and it's seeing more play in standard right now in a more like controlish build, or like a couple more good counter spells or something to be really, really good and be able to really punish other 5-drops. Because if you can play it before they play their 5-drop and then just go dispute your 5-drop, that is huge tempo.
Yeah.
It's a game-winning play, as we mentioned. And other than that, I'd say Ashiok Nightmare Muse. It feels to me like it's one of the like strongest planeswalkers we've seen in a while, but the shell just doesn't really exist for it to be good.
Yeah.
It's kind of outclassed by dragons.
Yeah.
It's not broken like Nissa or Teferi, so...
If I was going to say another planeswalker that fits the same category as being very powerful and not having a home at all would be the 5-mana Bolas.
Yep, I had it on my list. It seems broken, but yeah, just Grixis is not good.
I don't know. It's interesting. I was talking...
Well, not like that, at least. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. I was talking to a friend recently about Grixis because I was building the 4-color BTL list. And so he was saying that Bolas is a really good card, and I don't really think it is. Because unlike the other walkers, it just doesn't generate board presence. Maybe I'm too skeptic here, but...
Well, it has all of the abilities of other planeswalkers.
Yeah, but you need other planeswalkers for that. It feels like a win more, but it's a really cool card. Like, I really hope Grixis becomes playable at some point. It's just...
Yeah.
I think Ashiok would be better, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it might be it'll probably see play before Bolas sees play.
I think that's a good point, though, is that it is kind of amazing when you're even or ahead, but it's not as much of a come from behind card. You know, it's probably one of the best things if you're both top decking and you draw a Bolas. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, on an empty board.
That's just insane.
Yeah.
The card is ridiculous, yeah. I mean, if you're playing Narsets and Mordelianas, then I could see Bolas being better. So that's some kind of Grixis Super Friends list. It could be interesting.
Probably need a better four fires drop. In there.
Fires of Invention.
Fires of Invention. You also have Chandra, so which is like curving Narset into Chandra into Bolas seems pretty dope. We could also play Sorin into Bolas minus P put in Champion. Just saying.
He's just joking, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that's really going to work, but you could.
So I had a couple more. You guys can tell me if you think they're going to be good or not. Golos Tireless Pilgrim. It's seeing play now, actually, in the Aetherworks decks, and that's been popping up.
He was on my... It was actually on my list that I didn't include him, but he was probably, like, top 15 for me. He's close. I play him in the occasional thing. You know, obviously not having any of the big land combo decks hurts him a little bit. You know, we don't have... When we had Field of the Dead, that was obviously the best place for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I ran a copy of him in my version of Enigmatic Incarnation just because he's a nice mana sink and, you know, a good 5-drop, advances your board, grabs World Tree if you want.
Yeah, so not the best, not the top 10 right now, but definitely in waiting.
Yeah. Do you think World Tree... Like, do you think the interaction with Portree is going to take it over the top at some point?
I feel like people... you know, I know Claudio doesn't like World Tree. I like a one of World Tree, especially in Yorian versions, just because, like, it's kind of nice to just, you know, completely fix your mana. I feel like I'm willing to play more mana confluences in something like a 5-color Niv. You know, I'll trust the expert, but I like, you know, going a little bit more greedy with my mana and then playing one World Tree to just make everything feel great.
I think, I just wanted to say that, like, when you played Golos in the past, you needed to play Cascading Cataract to activate it in, like, non-5-color decks. And I think the War Tree is much lower opportunity cost, and maybe we should be experimenting more with, like, Golos. It's a really sweet card. I really like it, too.
For me, other...
Well, especially, I'm garbage, and I was playing a Zerda in that list as well, so I could activate him for 5 mana.
That's sweet.
Now, other than like having good lands to play with this, I think like maybe we need more targets. I don't know. Like right now, it's an either works. You know, so you can put in like an Ulamog, or you can put maybe an Ugin into play. Something that's like really, really just like apocalyptic. You know, that's like heavy, because it's any card, right? You know, something like 10 or 11 mana or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, something more that, that's just going to like destroy the board and just like, you know, cause, you know, an overwhelming feeling of dread in your opponent's, you know, heart.
You could also show up if some kind of Paradox Engine deck shows up. You know, he's a nice medicine for that.
True.
True, yeah. It used to see play in Mono Green Ramp, I think. But that was a long time ago, like before, because Mono Green Ramp couldn't beat Inverter in a lifetime or Heliod, so that hasn't seen play in the format for a while.
Do you guys want to talk about any other 5 drops that didn't make the top 10, or do you mind if I do a couple more?
What do you got?
Go ahead.
Scarab God.
Yeah.
I love it, but I mean, it seems so good, but it's like, I don't know, why isn't it seeing play? Why is it because the graveyard hate? I don't know.
It just doesn't have the immediate impact, you know, and I feel like in the decks that could play it, Kenrith is often better.
Yeah, I mean, the blue-black control, you know, if we ever had, you know, Martin on before, you know, just being able to, you know, kill stuff, and then play this, and then it doesn't
die.
And
then tap out, and your opponent can finally come back. That's the problem, is you don't want to tap out in that blue-black control deck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's more like an 8 or 9 drop, which is just too much.
Okay.
Too much to ask.
Yeah. I also think that compared to other 5 drops, it just doesn't catch you up from behind as well. And and like if you look at, again, Niv, or and also it doesn't close out the game as well, but I know Claudio has been playing some of these when he wanted to have a trump for the mirror match. Because it's a great mid-range card for like mid-range arm wars, where arm traces, when you just you just want as many Nivs as you can, so it's great there. I don't think it's gonna see.
There's also a decent amount of exile. Sorry, there's also a decent amount of exile removal. When you're answering things that are like a 5 drop, you're gonna see things like E2 Extinction rather than a favorite push. So it's gonna still answer.
It does dodge Vanishing Verse, which is super nice.
Nice, yeah, true.
Is Vanishing Verse monocolored? I forgot.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, monocolored permanent.
Monocolored permanent, yeah. So yeah, I got 2 more cards, and then we can move on to the last part. I really like Vivian Reed, the 5 mana one. That it's kills a flyer or an enchantment, I believe, or you plus it, and you get to, you know, look at 4, I believe, and put a creature or land card into play. And then the minus, I can't remember what it does. It's like...
It basically...
Or trample.
It makes you unbeatable in combat. It gives everything +2/+2, indestructible, vigilance, trample, or something along these lines. And it's like an emblem. It's forever. Yeah.
So what
I have a soft spot for that card because a lot of people thought it was bad during spoiler season, and I was like, this card's actually really good, and ended up seeing quite a bit of play. Mm-hmm. So I've got a soft spot for it. I think it has fallen behind in playability. Yeah. You know, I think that Nissa, the 4 mana...
The 5 mana one, right?
Well, the 5 mana Nissa, the 4 mana...
Vivian?
Is that Vivian?
Vivian, yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it 4 mana... Yeah, end up just being more important, more playable.
What do you think?
The wish board.
This reminded me that we have another walker we missed, Angruf the Flamechained. I think it's...
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Is he good enough to... I like him. It's a great sideboard card. It has, you know, some cool abilities for sure.
He's better than he looks on paper. I think a big thing with him is that if you're already pressuring their life total, you're already pressuring their hand, it adds to both of those things. And the minus takes care of the things that you want it to. So, like, in those aggro matchups where the plus isn't good, that's where the minus is especially good. So, you know, if you're playing a Yorian deck, you're plussing. If you're playing against a Lurrus deck, you're minusing. So basically either side of it's pretty good. And it's also really funny when you can grab their Lurrus, recast something, and then sacrifice their Lurrus after attacking with it. Just really mean.
Yeah,
I like it. I can agree to that.
I also think it just lines up really nicely against all the other 5 drops. I mean, not the walker ones, but the creature ones. It's disgusting taking almost any of them. I mean, stealing a Korvold? Please,
Yeah.
And we can even attack and stack the Korvold. It's just a really strong card, but it's a very narrow card as well. It's just a lot of cool options that I haven't thought about before.
Oh, there's so many cards I want to talk about, but I know they're not good.
What other card? I'm curious.
I think if anyone's, if people are enjoying listening to it, keep talking about it, because I like shooting down ideas or talking up why they might be good.
I'll just do the two angels then real quick, Archangel Avacyn and Lyra. I mean, I know, like you said, they don't have any kind of... Lyra doesn't stick around long enough to be of any use, even though she's, got a great body and great stats. And Archangel Avacyn, not good because I'm guessing all those big dragons and Galgaroths and everything else that we talked about earlier.
Well, if I were to play Lyra, what I'd play instead is Baneslayer. Mm-hmm. Protected from dragons isn't...
Oh, yeah, that's
isn't,
true.
Isn't trinket text right now.
Yeah. I actually lost to Baneslayer like a month ago in the challenge. I was playing Junt Food, and my Jeskai opponent just slammed a Baneslayer, and I was just looking at it dying in the air because I had two answers in the deck. Like, the card is really, really good, but you need your opponent to be doing very linear stuff. But having protection from like Niven Korvold is pretty hilarious, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I gotta play that more.
Often what you'll see, if you do see people playing Baneslayer or Lyra, you often see 1-1 split because Lyra is
legendary,
so that's what you would see sometimes. You'd see one of each,
yeah,
because you kind of want two of the effect, but you don't want to have two of the same one.
Mm-hmm.
Also, while you were mentioning Avacyn, like Avacyn, I think it used to see playing standard in the Coco decks, right? In the Collected Company decks, and there was a green-white one popping up in Pioneer recently. So maybe that deck, mm-hmm, because it plays super nicely when you leave 5 mana up and you don't know if it's a Coco or an Avacyn.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool option to play it, I guess.
I mean, they had it back in the white blue Flyers deck as well. It's like a top end.
Really?
That was back in Standard, though.
Well, in Standard, blue-white Flash.
But then again, you have the bird that people are playing now that makes all your Flyers 1 mana cheaper. So if you go like more of a flying deck instead of a spirits deck, it would be a 4-mana Avacyn. That's not bad.
Oh,
so that is already a flying deck and not a spirits deck, but I think the big problems there is that that's a very tempo-oriented deck. You want a lot of two drops, maybe three drops.
Yeah.
Plus, it kind of kills all your own creatures.
Not if you have like a lot of big buffs on them, right? If you have like... Because they have like 8 lords, basically, right?
The problem is that like Supreme Phantom is only for spirits and not for flyers. Think.
Well, also you could play the other spirit that you can sack and make everything.
There's an enchantment.
The new angel, the new Linvala.
The new Linvala.
You can sack to give indestructible, right? Or is that only if you
selfless
have the
spirit
full party?
Well, so you'd rather play Selfless Spirit there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Selfless Spirit.
Selfless Spirit also lets you trigger Ivacyn if you wanted to flip her on your own.
Yeah.
You can't do that with Linvala.
True.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. Okay. I forgot they printed the 3-mana in Vala. Yeah. The party one.
Yeah. Okay, I got one more then.
Okay, and I'll do after you one more. I'll do one more after you.
Yeah.
All right.
Reality Smasher. I love it.
That's a good one.
But, it's haste 5/5 trample, and like they have to discard a card if they're going to target it. But man, our mana sucks. We don't have any good colorless manas, and we don't have the full play set of pain lands, so I hate it.
I don't think that's the issue. I do really feel like it's just a little bit lacking in power.
Yeah.
It doesn't do much for you when you're behind. When you're behind, it's a 5/5 with no real text. That's about it. I just think that even if we could play that in a normal colored deck, I think that it falls a little bit behind.
I think
if we had more colorless decks, like an artifact-based deck, maybe it would see more play.
Like, if I think of it... I mean, I think you have to play it with Llanowar Elves. I don't think you can play it on 5 on curve, but it's like a great thing to play ahead of curve. And And I think maybe you're right. If we had, like, green... I don't remember which... We only have the enemy dual and pain lands, right? Because if you had the green-white one, for example, you can start playing cards like Eldrazi Displacer. That's also a card that's not seeing a lot of play and could see play. It's just an interesting avenue. I like it. I think also Thought Knot here is great.
Yeah, yeah. I want to play all those cards.
But, I mean, I can double check. I want to say, you know, we know C-Squared. He's always been a Eldrazi player since we've known him. And I don't think he plays four of in a, you know, mono Eldrazi deck, basically. Just because it's not quite viable to be playing a full play set of that card.
Who did you say was an Eldrazi player?
C-Squared.
Yeah, oh, okay. He's one of our members in the Untapped, I believe.
Back in the day.
I'm curious. Link me to a deck. I'd love to see it.
All right, let's see if I've got his list. I'll be finding that while you talk about some more things that probably aren't playable.
What was the last five draft you wanted to talk about, Emmett?
Another vampire. We forgot to talk about Blood Baron of Viscopa.
I did. Right.
I thought about it. Yeah, it saw some play.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are some metagames in where the card is just unkillable. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when five color Knave plays like Shadow's Verdict over Extinction Event or something along these lines. The card's just like they can't touch it. I never know if it's good enough or black. Not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, against Mono Black.
Mono Black's ever good again. Yeah.
And it's also just good versus burn because they can't chain to the rocks it, and then they have to put two burn spells and it has lifelink and it's like just great.
Red was the only color that could deal with it back in Standard. It's like if you didn't have like a Stoke the Flames or whatever, you know, you're screwed.
It was in the Devotion Standard, right?
Yeah.
Or am I mistaken? Because I think it was played versus Mono Black Devotion, but I could be wrong.
Probably, yeah. It's probably Return to Ravnica and Theros were kind of together, I think, so.
Okay. Oh, I want to see the Jazzy deck.
I'm trying to think of any more, like, not doesn't quite count. Like, can I say Omnath because you play land after it?
It's like my Nurus, I think it counts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of five drops I can think of. There was a lot more that I liked, but I knew that they were way too timmy, so.
Do you want to give a list? I'm just curious what you have on that list. You don't have to talk about all of them.
No, I mean, that was pretty much my whole list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that we talked about, so I'm happy that I could actually talk about all of them. But I had stuff that I didn't put on the list that, you know, I knew weren't probably going to be, you know, worth talking about. They weren't going to be good enough, but stuff I would have liked to have seen. Anyways,
what about Jagan? Or what about what's the hippo?
Oh, Obosh was the other one.
Oh, Obosh is a good one.
Obosh. Yeah. I mean, if we're including Jagantha for being, you know, I don't think Obosh would see play in a main deck probably. Yeah. But if we're including it as a companion, but what about Karuga? I feel like every once in a while I'm like, man, that deck's not running very many things below three just because of Bone Crusher and stuff like that, but.
What deck?
Karuga, which one's that?
I don't know. Just various decks I've seen that are like, man, that could almost be a Karuga deck. Karuga? I wonder if that should be seeing any play.
Right, Karuga is the one that draws you cards for each permanent with CMC 3 or more that you control.
Mm. Yeah.
And you can't have cards that cost less than 3 in your deck.
Yeah.
I think Karuga's biggest problem is, like, it's a green deck, so you kind of have to play elves, right? It used to see play in Fires. Mm. I mean, Doomwake was playing Jeskai Fires in the Pioneer Showcase qualifier, and he was playing Karuga, as far as I can tell.
What about, okay, so it can be in blue and not
green. Yeah, exactly.
So what if you're playing blue-red dragons, you know, your curve starts with Bone Crusher and
Brazen Borrower and start coming.
Brazen Borrower. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think those decks just kind of have to play one mana interaction in Pioneer.
Yeah,
you just lose the game if they play elf and you don't answer it, but there's definitely a lot more space to explore in Pioneer. I definitely think that some decks can play these cards, and God, I want to brew so much.
Another one that I was thinking about, that one from Ikoria, it was like the Abzan 5 mana one, and like when it mutates or dies or something, you get to bring like 3 cards back equal to its power or something? I forgot.
Nathroi, Apex of Death? Yeah, that's never going to see.
Yeah.
That's not going to see play.
Okay, oh, the other one you were talking about earlier, Turgrid. How about Turgrid?
No.
Got a few. No?
Like Kevin, you've opened the Pandora box, Kevin.
Okay.
Yep, definitely.
You give me an inch, you know, I'm going to take a mile. Yeah.
I did play a Turgrid in that deck that I was trying Zerda just to see how it went.
The Turgrid flip side is surprisingly good.
The four mana,
it can be scary.
Yeah, it's like
And then I think, oh, sorry. I think my favorite thing I think I saw done was, I want to say I saw Claudio, like, make something sacrifice with the flip side before flickering it at the end of turn with Yorian so that the thing came back and sacrificed and he got it with Turgrid or something like
that's
that.
That's hilarious.
Smart.
Or no, it didn't quite work. It was something crazy like that. Like
yeah, we need to use like Flicker of Fate or something, but it could, like, that's a really smart thing to do.
So, last topic before we finish this today. So we talked about a lot of cards, and I wanted to ask, what colors do you think are missing good 5-drops? Like, which ones could use better colors? What would you like to see? Like, I'll go first. Like, for me, I think I'd like to see more good 5-red drops. I want to see more powerful spells, like, you know, something, you know, better than Hour of Devastation, for example. Mm-hmm. Or I want to see something that deals more damage. You know, like, you know, in the past we had Inferno or something like that that did 6 damage to all players and creatures for 6 mana. Something like that, you know, at instant speed. Or even better planeswalkers. Like, we have Chandra, you know, at 5 mana, and, you know, we have, the dragon guy, what's his name? I don't know. I can't remember his name anymore. Concept Target. Sarkhan? Yeah, Sarkhan and stuff. Oh. Yeah, we got 5-drops, but, like, I don't feel like we've had really good 5-drop planeswalkers in red for a while. So red is definitely one of the colors that I would like to see get better 5-drops in the future.
Mm-hmm. I'm not.
I'd add that and say red-white, maybe. Like, red-white or Mardu, I would love to see some good 5-drops.
I wanted to say white, too, until I remembered the Yorion is white, so I kind of don't want them to get more 5-drops. but I just hate Yorion. I do agree on red.
Niv is red.
Hmm?
Niv is red. Keep going.
Also, Korvold is red, right? No, I do think that red needs more 5-drops, more good 5-drops, or better shells for the dragons, because I think Glorybringer and Goldspan are just great. They just don't have good shells. I do want to see more good black 5-drops. I mean, black, I think, is really neglected here. Even Gigantha is red. I mean, as much as we make fun of that, it's a really good thing to do on 5 when it's for free. Yeah. Black is kind of lacking. Black does get to play
Other
push and
Champion.
Thoughtsies, but yeah, but Champion is super narrow. I mean, maybe Innistrad makes the Empire's tier 1. And I can just dominate the format, but until then,
I would like to see better legendaries in black at like 5 mana. I mean, like, we had Kalatis at 4, you know, something really good like that power level, but at 5.
Yeah, or maybe a planeswalker. I mean, Obnixilis is just not cutting it anymore.
Yeah, he's garbage.
The card, it was great. What, 5 years ago? We kind of need something
for, like,
new.
One deck, right?
You will not trash talk my Obnixilis. It won me some matches.
Yeah.
I even used to play...
I had him in my sideboard.
I used to play From Under the Floorboards in my standard deck sideboard.
Oh, wow. Man. Wow. Who's the Timmy
what's
now?
That, how about that? What's that? There's like a Abolisher of Timelines or something like that. There was a Madness 5-drop that you play for 3 black and sack 3.
Abolisher of...
Voldaren Pariah?
Voldaren Pariah, yeah.
That's a card.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're getting a little silly. Why don't we wrap up our show here? Was there anything last minute you guys wanted to shout out? Because otherwise I'm going to bring us to our closing.
I just want to say thank you for letting me do this topic this week.
Hey, we had a lot more fun. I think we got some... Yeah, we got more competitive content than I expected talking about 5-drops. So this was good. Guys, if you enjoyed this kind of content, if you want to hear more from us, best place to reach us is at MTG Pioneer. Follow us on Twitter there. You can also find a link to our Discord, which you can communicate with us in a number of ways. Find our old show links, anything you want to do. Ryan is...
I mean, yeah, you guys can just find me on Twitter, Yoshwenky, Yoschwenky, and I'm also on the Discord, so you want to chat with me, chat with any of us, pop on in, send us a tweet, or add us, you know, we'd love to talk Pioneer with you.
Yeah, we love feedback on the show, et cetera. Yeah. And Amit?
Yeah, so you can find me on Ekeros MTG, both on Twitch and on Twitter. That is EkerosMTG. I stream 4 times a week. I tweet a lot about Magic, Pioneer, or nonsense, and it's great always to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, of course. Awesome. Let's see how long can we keep the streak going, right?
All right, that's going to wrap up our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are the First Pioneers Podcast. We are your go-to source for pioneer information online. We're signing off.